the heaviest thing ever carried by a human being is the weight of responsibility carried by every mother. I feel like, and I don't know if you moms agree about that, I feel like every mother carries a weight unlike anything else that you know, we could really describe. Mothers, you know, of course, you know, all parents care. I mean, by the way, and it's not just one time. All right, so that man lifted that 6,000 pounds. He did that one time, and he lifted it about this far. And, you know, that's one time. But I think moms carry this weight for a minimum of 18 years and 9 months. And really, they never put it down. They never put it down their whole lives. I think every mother in the room probably understands that. So again, all parents care. Fathers care. Fathers care about their children. Fathers feel a weight of responsibility to protect and to provide for their children and all of those things. But there really is, I think, something special and something different about mothers. Mothers tend to carry the weight of everything regarding their children, don't they? Mothers have a tendency to not only carry their own responsibility that they feel for their children, but they feel like it's their responsibility also for everything that a child does, everything a teenager does, everything even that they do as adults. And so mothers, I believe, carry the heaviest weight in the universe, which is, and perhaps that's related to some of the things that we understand. You know, we understand that for 9 months, a mother and a child, their lives physically, emotionally, are so intertwined. David wrote this one time in Psalm 139. David wrote a verse. He said, "For you formed my," talking to God, "you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." That word covered there literally means entwined. Two lives entwined in a way that really never happens again, at least on a physical way, and as it does between baby. Perhaps it's the natural nurturing that mothers do. I mean, let's be honest. I think that for the most part, now again, this is not a slight to any of us men, but I think realistically speaking, when a baby is born and children are young, mothers, generally speaking, carry the majority of the nurturing load, do they not? Okay, well, so half of the crowd, it's amazing, half of the crowd agrees with me on these things, and I'm not so sure about the other half. But regardless, I'm just trying to make the point that I believe that mothers carry the heaviest weight that there could possibly be, which makes a statement that Peter made then a little bit strange. And this is, I want to take you to a passage of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. And Peter writing here, he makes a statement, given the fact that what I just said about mothers and women carrying this incredible, incredible weight, he makes a statement here. Notice, "Likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife." That's good so far, right? You wives like that so far? Yeah, but those of you who know the rest of the verse, you don't like it so much, do you? "Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel." The weaker vessel. Every time I come to a verse like this and I'm going to use it in a message, I always know that there's going to be a little bit of a pushback on a verse like this, especially in our world of, you know, was it Helen Reddy, "I am woman, hear me roar," that sort of thing. And it could be a little insulting maybe, as unto the weaker vessel. But by the way, if you question this, just ask any of the Ivy League swimmers that are swimming against that, what's his name, whatever the guy's name is, the man who's swimming as a woman, that thing. You just ask them if it's not true. But we have this concept here that Peter's introducing here that can be very kind of insulting to women. But let me help you with this. So if you find this to be insulting, when it says the weaker vessel, that word weaker is actually the Greek word asthenes, and here's what it means. It means weaker. Does that help? That doesn't help? It means, look, it's, the Bible says what it says, folks. Look, God did not ask society permission to write something down. God doesn't ask society permission to define things the way he chooses to define them. He doesn't ask permission to include things that society may think are in poor taste or all that. But please know this, there is no greater fan of the woman than God, and I'll prove that to you here in just a little bit. But we have to understand the Bible says what it says, and means what it means. But give me a few more minutes here as we continue. So it literally means weaker. It means without strength or without as much strength. So let's do some practical study today, though, because this doesn't seem to jibe very well when I said that women carry the greatest weight that this world has. Women carry this incredible burden, this weight of responsibility for themselves, for their children, particularly today, is what we're kind of dealing with today. And so how can the gender that, and by the way, there are two, how can the gender that it carries the greatest weight here be called the weaker vessel? So let's do some practical study. First of all, as we're going to dive into this, let's talk about what, not before we get to what God does say here, let me draw your attention to what God does not say. What God does not say here is he does not say, give honor unto the wife as unto the weak vessel. Are you with me? You see, if he had said, give honor unto the wife as unto the weak vessel, that would put them in contrast with the man who he's saying is a strong vessel. God does not say the man is a strong vessel and the woman is a weak vessel. He says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. That's a comparative adjective, which means there are two weak things. One just happens to be a little weaker than the other. Are you with me? So what is God saying here? What is God saying? And I know that, you know, for us men, that's a little hard. It's like, who are you calling weak? God's calling you weak. Don't look at me. But look, you know, and by the way, and he said, and because you're both weak, because you're both struggle with this thing called life, because both men and women are going to struggle to do life very well, you're going to need something that's in the last part of this verse. We've been singing about it all day today. He said, you're heirs together of the what? The grace of life. He said, because humanity as a whole, both men and women, because you are both going to struggle to do life well, you need a lot of grace. We can all agree on that, can't we? And he said, and you need to give one another a lot of grace. So husbands, you need to give your wife a lot of grace. Wives, you need to give your husbands a lot of grace. Boyfriends, girlfriends, parents, children, parents, friends, co-workers, employers, employees. He said, you need to understand this. You all are in need of grace. So be generous with that, with one another. And so what God is really saying here in this verse is not, he's not really putting women down. What he's really saying is he's putting all of humanity on notice and saying, you can't do any of this stuff, any of you, without me. In other words, if you want to do this thing of life right, if you want to do it well, neither of you are capable of doing it on your own. And you're not capable of doing it without help from God. He says, so that's why you're heirs together. Heirs together. Together, husbands and wives. Together, moms and dads can do this. Now, does that mean that a single mom can't be a good mom? Not at all. Single moms can be a great mom. You just need God a little bit more. Single dads and so forth. You get the idea. And I think we've seen that played out in many, many cases. So he said, look, if you want to do this thing of parenting well, you can parent. Hey, you can be, look, it's not hard to become a parent. It's hard to be a good parent. He said, if you want to be a good parent, you got to have me involved. That's the point God is making here, that both husbands and what, men and women, fathers and mothers, are weak in some ways. We want to do all these things, we need God's help. So secondly, the second thing that he's telling us here, Jesus kind of went on to clarify exactly kind of what that means and how God is desiring to help us. And we'll come back to this verse, by the way, and come back to moms here in just a few minutes. But let me take you to Matthew chapter 11. So Jesus then went on to sort of explain this fully about how it is that we need him. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are, look at the next two words, heavy laden. As I said, this is moms, dads, parents, employees, all this, anybody. He said, look, if you're having to labor, if things are heavy for you, if you are heavily burdened, anybody in the room feel heavily burdened? Boy, this world feels heavily burdened. We talk about it on Wednesday night. The whole creation groans together. This world is groaning, have you noticed? So he said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. But now here's the key. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now notice the word yoke there. That's kind of the key, and that's what we're going to key in on. So how is it that Jesus wants us to handle these heavy burdens? How is it that Jesus wants every mother, every father, every person to handle the heavy burdens in life? He said, look, you can try to carry that on your own. You can try to carry such a heavy, heavy, heavy load by yourself, or you can simply get in a yoke with me. Now, in the Bible days, this would have been very easily understood by the community in which this was first spoken. A yoke back in those days was really, they were almost always a double yoke, not double yolk, not eggs, although we like those, but double yoke. It was made for two oxen. You see, because two oxen can pull more than twice the load that one can, because there's something about the collective energy and the way that is made. And so Jesus said, listen, if you really want to carry these heavy loads, you put my yoke upon you, because he said, I'm in the other side. Amen. It's his yoke. Amen. You see, it's his yoke. Jesus never made the offer to us to come and get in our yoke with us. He didn't make that offer. You'll not find any place where Jesus says, hey, invite me to go to that party you're heading to, and I'll help you not get high. Hey, come on. He said, no, you want to live a good life? Get in my yoke. I'll go where you need to go, and I'll take you where you need to go, but you get in my yoke, I don't get in yours. I don't get into the things that you want to do. I don't get into the things that you think are okay. You get into the yoke with me, and guess what? You will find you got a strong partner to carry this load. See, that's what he's trying to tell us here. And so we'll put this together with our moms here in just a minute. You see, that means he said, look, you want to parent well? Hey moms, you want to be a good parent? Let me help you. You want to carry that weight of responsibility that you feel? Get in my yoke, and together I will help you. Together we will try to rear your children. You want a good marriage? Get in Jesus' yoke. He said, together we will do this thing and do it well. Or you can just try it the way you've always done it. How's it working for you? How's it working for you? Do it the way you did it as a teenager. Worked great then, right? Nobody wants to go back and be a teenager again. I don't think. I'd like to have my knees back. I don't want any other part of teen years. But he said, so getting Jesus involved and getting in the yoke with him is how it's going to turn out well. The weight of life, listen, folks, the burden of life is too heavy to do this without God. It just is. It just is. That's why we're good. That's why we don't go very. That's why we're not going. You hear people say all the time, well, my life's just not going anywhere. You know why? Because you are so weighted down trying to pull a burden that you're not made to carry. There are just some things that are God-sized burdens, and you're just not capable of doing it. And it doesn't matter how many you try. And by the way, you can put all the people into that yoke with you if you want to, and it's still not going to happen. I could take every child on this property right now out in the parking lot and put a car in neutral. They're not going to move it, right? They're just not. But you know, you get somebody like Kurt. Kurt moved by himself. See, and God can do things that people simply cannot do. So this is the point he's making. So here we go. So we have this concept that women, moms carry this burden that is so heavy, heavier than anything else in this world. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. If you really want to carry a big burden, if you want to know how it is possible that the weaker vessel, he called them the weaker vessel. How can the weaker vessel, the gender that is said to be weaker than the other one, how can they carry the heaviest load? I'll tell you how. We find that secret in our next passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9. Here's what it is. God is talking to Paul, and he's explaining to Paul why he's not going to let him get rid of this infirmity that he has. Paul says, look, I got this infirmity, got this weakness. That's what it means. He said, I don't want this anymore. And God said, would you please take it away, God? And God said, no. And he asked him a second time, and he said, no. And he asked him a third time, and he said, no. And God, why won't you take this away from me? And I'll tell you why, he said, and it's a message for all of us. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for, watch this, for my strength. Capital N, that's God speaking. My strength is made perfect in what? In weakness. My strength. He said, you want to know, you want to see how strong I am? God says, you want to see how strong, you want to see the power that I have, how strong I am? Well, you got to become really, really weak to do that. You have to be willing to be very, very weak if you want to see how strong I am. Because watch, in that yoke, it's you and it's Jesus, and you're both going to move this weight together, yes? You're both going to carry this weight together. So the more we do, the less he does. Correct that. The more we try to do, the less he does. He said, my strength shows itself the most in weakness. So when he told Peter to write the woman as the weaker vessel, there's nothing insulting about that. What he's saying is, generally speaking, women tend to show my strength far more than men do. Let's continue on. Look at verse 10. Paul said, okay, God, I get it. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. By the way, here's a little tidbit. That word infirmities, you've already seen that word once earlier today. It's the Greek word asthenes, which I said earlier means weakness, weaker. Right, exactly. Same word. So Paul said, look, I take pleasure in my weakness, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am, then I am strong. You see, it really just comes down to this. Moms can carry the heaviest burden because they tend to lean on Jesus more than men do. Now look, those of you men that are sitting there giving me the stink eye, give me a break. Give me a break. Every time something happens, every time there's something going on in the home, what do we do first? We always try to fix it first. And if we can't, then we go to God. Right? You men, I'm telling you what. They have abandoned me, Herman. They've abandoned me. Leave me up here by myself. You know, men tend to trust God a little and ourselves more, don't we? Come on, let's be honest. Men are fixers. We have a tendency, look, when there's a need, when there's a problem, we have a tendency to try to fix it ourselves before we go to God to ask him anything. Now, and I'm not talking about, you know, changing a tire. You don't need to pray about changing a tire. Okay, if the tire's flat, change it. If the garbage needs taken out, you don't need to pray. Well, I just don't feel led, honey. Listen, when God tells me to do the laundry, I'll do the laundry. Seriously. But as a in general, that's kind of how men are. Moms have a tendency to get God involved much, much earlier. And that's why he said, you men, you need to honor them because they're showing you how to do it. They recognize the weakness of their vessel better than you do. And so they have a tendency to come to God much, much sooner in the process. Much earlier in the process. And in fact, let's go back. You know, look, the truth is women's true strength is really in their much more realistic view of themselves compared to God. See, imagine if God hadn't said it this way. Yeah, 1 Peter 3:7. Imagine if God had said, wives, give honor to your husbands because they are the weaker vessel. We wouldn't accept that very well, would we? But see, you ladies are so close to God, you're fine with this verse, right? You're cool with it. No, but he's just trying to say that ladies and moms have a tendency to be much more realistic about what we can and cannot do as human beings. And he said, the reason you need to honor them is because they're leading the way in trusting God. They're leading the way in showing how much God needs to be a part of this. In fact, let me just show you the context and I'm done. So here's the context of this whole thing. He's actually talking about Abraham and Sarah. And he said, for in this manner, in the former times, the holy women, notice that. You know, the Old Testament tends to look a lot, very much man-centered, doesn't it? It does. But notice he said, the holy women who trusted in God, also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own. There's that S word. Yeah, I know. He said, that's the greatest strength you've got. He said, you can do that. And he said, you do that because you do it so much better to God than men do. Men have a tendency to not be very submissive to anybody. Verse 6. He said, as Sarah obeyed Abraham. Oh, wow. Hey, happy Mother's Day. All I have to do now is go to that verse that says, let the woman learn in silence, and I hit the trifecta. As Sarah obeyed Abraham. This is not a criticism. Hey, this is not demeaning in any way. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, you know what? Sarah didn't have a problem with this because she understands that all of us are so far away from God's level. That whatever differences there are here between us as far as physical strength, they're not really important. And instead, she opted for the spiritual strength of recognizing her weakness compared to God's. And the message I think today, I hope, is that that's what God admired about her. That's why he put it in Scripture. Because he mentioned Sarah, and then he said, so the rest of you men, give honor to your wives. Give honor to your wives as unto the weaker vessel. Here's the thing, and I'm done. Today is a day to honor moms. It's a day to honor women. But it's also a day to learn from them, is it not? So Bill and I are going to learn from the women today. The rest of you who just sat there, you better go home and make something really good for dinner. Because you had your chance right there and didn't say a word. We should learn. Timothy did it. Paul reminded Timothy over and over again, you know where you got your faith? You got it from your mom and your grandmother, Lois and Eunice. He said, that's where you got your faith. We could all learn from that. But I think the point here is that, and I just wanted to talk today about moms and the incredible burden. Please know this. God knows the burden you carry for your children. He knows the burden you carry for your children and your grandchildren. He knows. And he admires the fact that you lean on him a little bit better. However, we could all do a little bit better of that, could we not? We could all learn to lean a little bit more on God, a little bit less on ourselves. You take the truth as it applies to your life, and I will take the truth as it applies to my life. And let's all together become more of that heirs of grace. All of God's children, we should be becoming heirs of God's grace in this way. And I hope that that's both encouraging and instructing to all of us. Would you